All right. I forgot to turn on the recorder because we had a little bit of an announcement. And so the prayers for this study won't be recorded. So, not that I didn't much care for recorded prayer anyway, so I just don't like it. But, you know, what are you going to do? Okay, we're on question number 13, and we're still in lesson number 3. So let me move this over here. Okay. I'm already in my own personal notes. I'm on question number 4 of lesson number 4. I love these studies. I mean, I just, because it gets me into other stuff in the scripture, you know, and I just love it. I love topical study. Ever since I was a young Christian, I love it. So, amen. All right, so question number 13. It says, let me switch these glasses real quick. All right, it says list, or does it? Yeah, list some of the signs of moral deterioration that were predicted to occur in the last days. And it's from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And here's what it says. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Now, the next two questions will, of course, cover verses 4 and 5, so I just want to look at these two first, because, you know, the other two, of course, go into a little bit different area. But in any of it, does this kind of sound like today's society? I mean, because I remember as a kid, you know, this a lot of the stuff that's mentioned here in these verses, like, you know, especially the disobedient to parent thing, that just wasn't around. I mean, it was yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, you know, as early as when I was born in the 50s. You know, it wasn't until rock and roll got on the scene and, you know, all that free love of the 60s that kids started having a problem with their parents and rebelling. Because I know I was what you would call tough love. They used to call it tough love back in the 70s. So I gave my parents, you know, plenty of heartache. But let's just take, you know, some of these things that we see here in this prophecy that Paul's making to let Timothy know about. It says, those that love self, the lover of their own selves is, well, that too. I mean, that is absolutely everywhere. You know, I was part of that crowd too, that self-love thing. There are actually self-help courses that educate people how to love themselves today. You know, but the other toss of the coin is, you know, natural-born pride and conceit. I know many people that have this problem, both men and women alike, because I had it. I thought I was, you know, all that in a bag of chips, as they say, you know. A lot of the women have a problem with this, too, because more so than the guys, because women have a tendency to be a lot better looking than men, and that gets to you, because I know it got to me when I was young, because I was girly, I had girly good looks when I was really, really young. And, but praise the Lord, all that's gone. but anyway, as for covetousness, this too is a normal way of life for most today. I mean, no one can convince me that absolutely everyone in the city has the ability to own a brand new car. I mean, yeah, it's impossible. But because their neighbor has one, most will literally kill themselves with debt, slowly but surely kill themselves with the stress of debt, just so they can have a new car in their driveway, you know, every 2-3 years. You know, a common reality of today is living above your means. And thanks to so many people doing this, the banks have restructured society to that end, where now you literally have to be in debt if you want to have a reliable car or a house, or a nice home, you know. And this, of course, then leads to boasting, because it is natural for man to boast when he knows for a fact that he really can't afford the toys he has. Now, those that who do have the means usually don't boast as much as those that don't. You know, pride is also the reason more are in debt as well. And I mean, their desire to keep up with the Joneses forces them to get the things that bolster their pride. But, you know, again, that's today's society. As for blasphemers, well, the bottom line is when you're into sin and self as much as most people are today, you will naturally hate God out of sheer guilt. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. I mean, he says you cannot serve God and mammon. It just can't be done. And when it comes to disobedient to parents, I mean, most parents know all about this hands down. I saw this come to fruition, as I said, when I was 18 and rock music started to, well, actually 70. It started to brainwash the kids into thinking mom and dad were the enemy. And today it's got, because I, you know, like that one song by Alice Cooper, I'm 18, I can do what I want. And literally, if you look in scriptures, the age of accountability is 20. But the devil knows if you get someone to go for that 18 thing that the laws of mankind say you are now considered an adult, even though the Bible is clearly saying you're not, you have the legal right to leave your home and mom and dad can't do thing one about it. And the kids that embrace that 18 thing always have rough lives. And I've seen it with many kids that I've known. I remember kids that were kicked out by their parents. We had a kid that lived with us for years who was kicked out right the minute he was 18. The dad booted him out of the house. And so he ended up living with us because he's one of my employees. I mean, he literally became homeless on his birthday. What a gift, you know, because they used to do, well, we did birthday gifts back then too. But today it's gotten so bad that your own children will hate you deep inside for some of the dumbest reasons. And this hatred always leads them into thinking their parents' rules are wrong, so they disobey. You know? And that's only because of peer pressure and stuff like that. But the music has a lot to do with it as well. The parents are always painted as the enemy. And so if you let your children listen to the music and stuff, you're asking for trouble. You are literally going to have to deal with this hands down when your kid comes of age, especially if the kid's been allowed to watch TV with all that fiction for years and all those murders. I mean, it's no mistake that kids kill their parents. Some of them do. Anyway, as for being unthankful, you know, I've come across many in my life over the years that have had things handed to them hand over fist, and never once were they grateful for what others have done for them. And so this, again, you can see this with the people with the silver spoon in their mouth kind of a thing, where they're born into money and stuff like that. They're totally ungrateful. And I pray to God for some of the parents that do have the money and they won't give their kids certain things because they want to teach them the value of the dollar, not to worship it, but to realize, look, there's calluses involved. There's hard work involved. You got to learn. You can't just have these things handed to you, because what if the economy collapses, or what if the business goes under, or what if the money's not there? You're literally going to be, you know, financially crippled for the rest of your life because you don't have work ethics. It's sad. That's why parents should have children have chores, get them used to working. Some kids think, oh, that's mean. So, no, you're going to love it when you become an adult, because otherwise you ain't going to be able to hold a job. And you'll never figure out why, you know, until, of course, you become a Christian. That's when the wisdom kicks in. As for the unholy, I remember as a child that it was cool to be bad. Well, it is now, today. I mean, the word bad means cool. I mean, good. You know, it's all reversed. I mean, I even had friends that used to boast, and I've shared this many times, that they would go into convulsions if they got near a church. I mean, it was so cool to be bad that these guys would make up some of the most insane stories to try to make you think that they are so cool, you know? And you get the guys like James Dean and Elvis and all that, you know, the bad boy thing, and then the girls liked it, and, you know, so, of course, the guys are going to be more and more tough-looking and bad-looking, and so you get the fights in the schools and stuff like that. The better you are, the cooler you are. It's ridiculous. You know, they actually thought that was the best way to be in those days, and nowadays we have kids that are into Satanism, witchcraft, and a host of other unholy ways of life. And then without natural affection, well, of course, that's homosexuality and bestiality and necrophilia. It's all that weird stuff. So, I mean, there's no need to comment on this, as we all know that this has literally run rampant today, just as prophecy said. Jesus said that it would be like in the days of Lot when he splits the eastern sky. And so this is why there's so many homosexual laws being passed. And they literally have, the homosexuals have more power now than Christians when it comes to the laws of the land. But no one can beat the power of Christ. That because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So don't misunderstand or misquote me, or anything there. But I don't, I trust you all know what I'm talking about. But truth. Now the next one is, of course, truth breakers, and this can be. What about politicians today? They follow the exact same method of operation that Rome used back in their day to gain power. I mean, Rome would make friends and truces just so they can get close to those that they would eventually conquer, and this is happening, look at like in today's world, Saddam Hussein or Muammar Gaddafi or Hosni Mubarak. Okay, there you got Iraq and Muammar Gaddafi what was that, Syria or Libya. And then Hosni Mubarak, that was Greece. Greece, was it? Egypt, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, Egypt. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so all three of these men were friends with the United States for literally years, but they were all taken from power by the United States. And that's how Rome has always done it. That's why just another fingerprint of Roman, the Vatican itself having control over our government, because that's how Rome spread its power in the days. It would make friends with neighboring nations, go to war with them as allies to help them defeat their enemies, and then once they defeated their enemies, they would be merged into the Empire of Rome. And then if they had any problem with that, of course, then he had assassination. They would kill the leader. Well, that's what you see going on today. So truce breakers are also prevalent among the common man, by the way. Family feuds, start, and then truces are made, and truces are broken. I mean, this is daily in some areas. And then as for false accusers, I'm sure everyone has had their character, a fair share of this happening to them. Many of us have witnessed the attacks against my ministry or my character and my message over the years that were all proven false, and those that have attacked were exposed as false accusers. We just had a guy come in here three days ago during this week saying, "Nick, I forgive you. I haven't talked to this man in like maybe 6 or 7 years that I can think of. He used to be part of our number. And because of a misunderstanding of a doctrine that I was preaching, he now thinks that I'm evil or something, and he has to expose me." And so this is the guy that sends threatening letters to our home and threatening letters to one of our children. And so the police have gotten involved with this guy, but he still keeps pushing. False accuser. And we've had a before, like where they get a following, and then all of a sudden we realize that they're lying. Well, we're still here. Of course, we may not be here much longer because the whole world's going to be against us very shortly. So they'll feel like they're winning, of course, until that Easter sky splits. But we've seen this happen. At least, I know Bonnie, she's been here since 2004 for years. And we've seen them come and go. We've seen them start these big wars and cause people to come step out. And where are they now? One of the most recent ones, the guy now says Ellen White's a false prophet and he keeps Sunday holy. These people used to be in our number. They used to be Sabbath keepers. Some of them used to be Seventh-day Adventists, and now they're way out in left field because they attack God's people. If you're going to do that, the Lord will step back because you're asking him to. And these are false accusers. This is normal for today. All right? And then within Christendom, too. I mean, a lot of us are going to end up going to jail. I mean, look what happened to that a guy in Texas. What was his name? Tony Lama? I don't know why I think that. I'm thinking of the boots. And praise the Lord, yes, some do come back. Yeah, and usually we'll let the people come back that were just pulled away from the others. But the ones that start the problem and they want to come back, we'll say, look, okay, we'll see you on the Eastern. We'll see you either when the Eastern sky splits around the Crystal Sea, one of the two, we can't take that chance now. They have the ones that led the revolt or led the rebellion. No, I've seen that where people come back and then they start it all up over again. No, not David Koresh. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about there was this one preacher. He's got a big following in Texas. He's got a big church. He exposes the Pope as Antichrist. They arrested him for having child pornography on his computer screens, on his computers. They got him in the courtroom, and all of a sudden they realized they really messed up. Why? The man is blind. But still, I mean, they let him go, and all this. Yeah, Tony Alamo, that's what it is, Tony Alamo. I thought it was Texas. anyway, they let him go and they sent him home. And then, of course, I think a year later, they went after him again and said that, okay, it wasn't on his computer screens. So he's actually bringing the children in. And he got some kids to lie. And that he was extradited to Texas or whatever. Right, yeah. So, but yeah, and as far as I understand it, that is a false accusation against a Christian. You know, it's just even with, like, David Koresh, too. Now, David Koresh, why did he go and change his name from Vernon Howe to David Koresh and is beyond me? I don't know. He was a Seventh-day Adventist. He understands some of the things we understand. But then he actually started buying guns. And when you do that, you give the powers that be the okay to come forward, because now they know that you no longer rely on God. You rely on yourself and your ability to defend yourself. And yeah, I know the scriptures say, you know, where Jesus says, remember when I said, don't carry a knife, carry, sell your clothes or whatever and bury or buy a knife now. Me and the guy that used to be part of our church family had a little discussion on that because he had a love for guns or whatever, but that's no big deal. It's just, you can use them for target practice if you want, but he said that those are weapons. I said, no, if you look at the meanings, we could do a study on that one of these days. As a matter of fact, it might even be some of the Q&A that over the next year or so, because I'm pretty backed up on those. But those knives were actually for preparing food. Those are for food preparation, because usually when the apostles were sent out, they were sent out and people would feed them and everything was taken care of. But now you might go a couple, 3 days without food. So, but yeah, if you do a study, you'll see that those, as far as I understand it, those knives were for food preparation. And plus, there was only 2 out of 12 apostles. So that's not like they're not fitting for war at all. You only got 2. You know, because if it was really for weapons, I would think there'd be 12, one for each guy. So anyway, as for the term incontinent, this word means to be uncontrolled. Today, we have people with incontinent rage, or uncontrollable sex drive, or uncontrollable eating habits, or uncontrollable drinking habits, you know, drunkards and that. I mean, the list goes on. So, and we've also witnessed many fierce acts by people over the last few generations as well. I mean, some people, and you hear some of the testimonies of, you know, because with the research that I do on a daily basis, every now and then you run across articles where people get, you know, life in prison for killing somebody. And they always say the same thing. They say, I just don't know what happened. I started pounding on a guy and I had this rage and I just couldn't control it. I just kept going. And, you know, they murdered, they killed the guy. Or a person that says, I shot once, but all of a sudden, before I knew it, the gun was empty. Just kept shooting. And so there's a lot of incontinence going on. And finally, how many of us have been despised by the world simply because we are Christians? This is one of the reasons I get the attacks I get, right, as well as the attacks you get. I recall clearly the term goody two-shoes when I was a little kid. And just because I wanted to be good, everyone made fun of me and literally beat on me until I was a teenager. So, yes, I've seen this come to fruition firsthand. You know, despisers of those that are good. And I wanted to be good. I'm not saying I was good. I'm just saying they called me goody two-shoes, and before you knew it, they would use, you know, sign language, you know, fists on face to, well, wherever. I mean, I didn't get hit that much in the face. It was usually stomach blows and stuff like that, or kicks. So, anyway, number 14. See if we can get through this one here, because we started a little late anyway. But anyway, number 14 was the question here. It says, what would people love in today's world, of course, more than God? What does it say here? It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, it says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Well, today, we have people that literally kill themselves, granting the flesh all that it can take. Everything from unclean foods to alcohol and drugs. Even the porn industry, which was just a few decades ago illegal in America, is now a very profitable industry. And that's all based on pleasure. And that pleasure moment, if you will, lasts what? When the actual event occurs, it's what, 30 seconds? People are literally going to hell for 30 seconds of pleasure. I mean, the world literally gone crazy for, you know, for this today. You know, a comparably small portion of people the world over attend church every week. But if you look at the resorts or the casinos, you will see the world's new choice for attendance now. Resorts and casinos are jam-packed to the gills every single solitary day of the week across the globe, especially on weekends. And mankind truly has degenerated to becoming the lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And I mean, ask any grandparent or read a history book about the worldwide love affair between God and his people of not, you know, so distant past. You know, almost every nation on earth was in church at least one day a week back a few decades. Today, it's a far, far smaller number. Plus, most people were Bible readers back then, but today, it's not a common sight. Well, why is this, you ask? I mean, besides the fact that prophecy predicted it, one can see a bevy of methods the devil used to bring it about. For example, look at the Bible itself. It used to be the most exciting book to read. The stories were awesome displays of truth and God's power. The Christian mind was allowed to be brought into an area of thought the Lord planned for their spiritual growth. But with the arrival of Hollywood and all their special effects, stories have become mind-bogglingly amazing displays of special effects, slow motion, and heart-wrenching plots. After years of watching this eye candy, the mind comes to a position where it's so conditioned that it craves the wondrous displays of technology melded with the stories to keep its attention. And I remember when I gave up fiction. Any kind of, you know, I like the documentaries now, or there's these real life stories and things like that, but not with any kind of embellishment by fiction, of course. But I remember when I gave it up, and I actually had a dream one night of being tempted to watch an old TV series or something. It can get that addicting. So when people get so involved in this type of, you know, desire for, you know, the pleasures of the flesh or whatever, when the person is eventually introduced to God's word, it not only becomes hard to comprehend, it appears boring to them. It used to be the Bible was the most exciting book, but now most proclaim it to be the dullest, even though it's still the number one bestseller. And people say, oh, wait a second, I was at a bookstore just yesterday, Nick, and I saw the top 10 list, and it shows no Bible on there anywhere. I says, yeah, well, you're actually looking at the top 11 list. It's not really the top 10 list, it's the top 11. I think about 10 years ago, all the bookstores followed, I think it was Brooks, and I don't know, one of those big bookstores decided to stop putting the Bible on the top list, even though it's always there. They got sick of it being up there because it looked like they were a bunch of hypocrites. I mean, you'd got the Bible up there, then you got all these satanic books about Harry Potter, or, well, actually it was 10 years ago, so Harry Potter wasn't really there at that time, I think. Maybe it was 15 years ago. But then Stephen King's blood-curdling novels and all these disgusting titles were underneath it, showing the choice of the world. So I've met many Christians over the years that simply don't read the Bible because of their desire to please the flesh. I mean, Christians, imagine that. They claim Christ Lord, but they won't even give time during their day to read his book. And they're going to be held accountable for that. I mean, think about it. We've had 2,000 years of statements made in Scripture. They were written 2,000 years ago, but there's all sorts of evidence to support the fact that all the prophecies that stated that were supposed to happen have happened. There's all sorts of warnings showing us that that book is true. He is coming back. You've got to get ready, and this is the way to do it. And so many people go to their graves without even reading it. And you can actually read the entire Bible. I believe it's like in 1 week you could do it. It's just 8 hours a day or something like that. You could do it in 1 or maybe 2 weeks. But some people will live to be in their 80s or 90s. As wicked as they are, the Lord still loves them so much to give them ample time to, you know, just do it. And then the other toss of the coin is most Christian churches today have become entertainment halls simply because even the pastors themselves are bored with the Word of God because they too enjoy the pleasures of the flesh more than God that they supposedly had dedicated their lives to. Now, as the Word of God predicted long ago in 2 Timothy 4:3, the time has come when they will not endure sound doctrine. but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The churches now give the people what the flesh wants to hear and not what the Lord wants them to hear. And this is why we see what we see today. And that's why, what was it, last week, I think it was, there's a church that now, not only, because I remember reporting on this church before, because somebody reminded me in the article that it had it mentioned cage match fighting in the church. And I thought, well, wait a second. Is this the same church that I put an article on about 6 months or so ago that they actually had cage match fights in the church? I mean, how do you get around, 2 Timothy 3:14 about do violence to no man? Or no, James 3:14, do violence to no man. And now that church is allowing, actually having people come to church to get tattoos. In the church. Oh, Luke 3:14. Okay, yeah. And it was 3:14. And it was in that book somewhere. But yeah, the Bible, this proves the pastor does not read the Bible. The Bible's clear about not tattooing the body, about not, painting the body or scarring it either, cutting the flesh, because now there's people out there scarring now today. I don't know if you've seen some of this, but some people actually will slice designs into their skin to permanently scar the body with a design that will always be there for the rest of their lives. And here's the insanity of it all. Some of these people, like when if I go to this Walmart with Fran, shopping for food, I have a tendency to walk around, go to the computer area and stuff like that. And some of the people that you see in there or in the malls or whatever, and I don't see any scarring out here. I mean, every now and then you see the people with those big old rings in their ears and stuff like that from the jungles of Africa. Which they're just reverting back. But the tattoo thing, I says, well, you pretty much, like when you see people with tattoos on their face or high up on their neck or even on their hands, I says, you pretty well locked yourself into not getting a good, white collar job for the rest of your life, because not a lot of employers will allow people to represent, high end positions. They're not going to let you represent their company if you've got all these tattoos all over your body. And then you got these people with the piercings and then I don't know if you've seen some of the inflating things that they do in the body, but it's inflating, putting things underneath the skin and filling it with air and making these big bulges in the face, and it's really strange what's going on. It looks like the people are actually trying to take on an air of demonic look or something. So, but here's a good question. I'm not going to mention who asked it, but what do you do if you already have the tattoos and you become a Christian? Just don't get another one. and usually you won't. Most Christians won't. But if you've already got them, it's no different than the sins that I committed in my past. You have been forgiven. Don't worry about it. Yes, they may be permanent, but they're not going to be there when that eastern sky splits and you get that, the glorified body that Christ is going to give you. Those tattoos are going to be gone. Or you can get that balm stuff that they put on. It's supposed to melt the tattoo away. But I will check the ingredients. If it can melt the tattoo away, it might have something that will harm you. But, yeah, having the tattoos once you find Christ is no different than, Mary Magdalene stepping up and asking Christ to become her Savior. Or a murderer. It doesn't matter. That is your past. Now you have having a tattoo as a Christian now gives you an opportunity to have a testimony with others. You can relate. So you can actually use it to glorify the Lord at the same time. So, but yeah, getting a tattoo as a Christian, you'd have to get it without understanding what the Scripture says about it. And then even then, you're not held accountable because you did not know it was sin. But if you know it's sin, you have read the Bible, and you do know you're not supposed to get a tattoo, and you are a Christian, you get one anyway, well then, there's a lot of repentance going on there. You're going to have to ask the Lord to forgive. But yeah, once you came to Christ, that's all past. Don't worry about that. So anyway, let's end it here. Hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.